When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort. So, as we're recording this, you can tell behind you, Danielle, that it is February 20th.
That's right. My mom's birthday.
Your
shout
mom's
out to birthday. Fischel.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Shout out. We still have not exchanged our Christmas gifts.
I know.
I have obsidian in my closet right now.
I know.
Now.
As excited as I am to see your expressions when I give you your gifts, I want my So
this is crazy.
How do we make this happen? It's been 2 months.
This
is now getting bordering on ridiculous. Danielle and I live 90 seconds from each other.
I know.
I can at least have half my presents today.
I got you guys puppies, so I've been keeping these dogs alive.
They are now dogs.
They're no longer puppies.
They are now dogs. We got you. Danielle and I got you another pony.
I got you a pony. I got you both a pony. I am dealing with two ponies. They're both named Susie. Susie 1, Susie 2.
Susie 1, Susie 2. I've got so many grappling hooks in my closet for you, Ryder. This is now...
I don't need one. I'm
getting ridiculous. So yeah, I want my presents.
Okay, all right. I mean, the annoying thing is that we've seen each other, too. Like, we've done photo shoots, we've seen each other, and we just haven't done
it. But we're always
it.
Like, we're going to do a night.
We're
going
to do a dinner.
Well, we talked about doing the Magic Castle.
Magic Castle.
Which one of our amazing listeners sent us
an invitation to the Magic Castle.
Magic will be me getting my presents.
I think we should just exchange Christmas gifts and do Magic Castle whenever we can and not relate it to Christmas and just actually exchange gifts the next time we see each other.
Should we exchange over Zoom and then just like mail them to each other?
Should we open each other's Christmas gifts and then...
My, yours are literally right there. Because I have so many funny stories about getting, especially Ryder's gifts. Because I shopped for Ryder entirely this year on Instagram.
Ooh.
What?
And we and know that, how
I'm
that
an Instagram,
works out.
Like, that leads to so many random emails going, is this a scam? Are you not just going to send me something? Then actually getting it and going, this was not the size it looked like on the screen. I mean, there's There's so much comedy here.
Did you get me a mini grappling hook? It's gonna be like a doll sized grappling hook. I saw it was a grappling hook, but it was for Batman action figure. It had nothing to do with
that. Reminds me, I ordered off of, I don't know if you guys have heard of the app Temu, T-E-M-U.
I have actually. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I ordered off Temu this thing that was like a giant. It's supposed to be like a phone booth and inside like a lantern, but it's supposed to look like a phone booth and there's snow and somebody standing inside of it. And I was like, this is beautiful. It was around Christmas. It arrived and it was. It was an inch and a half and I hung it on the tree. It literally is now an ornament.
Oh, no. The best was, you know, I was prepping for like earthquake prep and it was you should have a crowbar. By your bed. Everyone should have a crowbar by their bed. And I was like, oh, that's a good call. So I ordered a crowbar online.
What did you think?
6 inches.
What
am I going to do? I'm going to get myself out of.
What can I crow with this? I can crow nothing with this thing. This is
the worst.
So yeah, that's kind of happened a little. Temu, I think, was the one that did all the big Super Bowl push, didn't it? Yeah, Sue saw it. It popped on the screen and she went, I thought that whole thing was a scam.
I know. So, I did too. Yeah. Here's what I'll tell you is a scam. When you have the app and then you haven't used it for a while and you open it, for some reason, it targets you with all of these like, here, spin this wheel and you'll get a certain percentage off. By the way, you always get 100% off.
Oh, well, that's so they're just mailing you free stuff?
Basically, but then it takes forever. It's like you spin the wheel and first you get 20% off and they go, we're going to do you a favor, spin it again. And I'm like, just give me I know this routine now. I know
it, it's the gambler, gambling instinct.
I know, which by the way.
Danielle loves
going
that.
To Vegas.
She's waking up in the
morning. How much money are we taking out? Timu's got the wheel again.
Do you have a spinny wheel? Is there a spinny wheel I could use?
I just got a hat that says future lottery scratch off winner. And it made me decide I'm going to do one scratcher a day for a full year.
No.
Are you really?
A waste of money. I mean, it's $365, so that's not that big of a deal.
Oh, I'm not always going to only do $1.
Oh, just do $1. Please, just do $1.
Sometimes I'll do $5. Sometimes I'm even going to do $10.
Producer, husband of this podcast, Jensen, needs to step in. No.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to start it, I think, on leap year day. Because it's a lucky day.
She is trembling right now. It's not cool.
Oh, God. It's like Ryder talking about Proust. Have you seen that amazing video?
I know.
Amazing video of the guy, I think he's from Australia. He won $300,000 in the scratch off, and the local news brought him to the store to recreate him doing it. And on camera, as he was recreating it, he won $500,000 in the scratch off.
What?
Yeah, swear to God.
You've got to be kidding
me. Swear to God. So they're like, we want to recreate it. So he's like, I was here, I scratched it off. And then you just see him and he goes, I won $500,000. Like, that's great. He's like, no, I really just won $500,000. And so
he won $800,000?
Something like $800,000 in two scratches.
You still think it's a bad idea? Still think it's a bad idea, Ryder?
Yes.
Still think it's a bad idea?
Yes.
What if I win $800,000?
Look at you, Danielle. I haven't seen you this animated ever.
I know.
You're like, hey, I just had kids.
I watched the Super Bowl. I watched the Super Bowl and it was in Vegas and I was like, oh, it's calling me.
I hear Vegas. Part of the Super Bowl made you think of Vegas besides the
it
fact
was
that they
in
said
Vegas.
It's Vegas.
It's Vegas. That was
but there's
it.
Nothing
it was
that looked like Vegas.
They showed the exterior and I was like, look, I'm wanted there.
I was just telling the story the other day about us being in Vegas and Jensen wanted to see was the sphere.
We
just wanted to see the sphere, and we didn't see it the entire time we're there. The plane takes off. It banks around as if it's circling the sphere. Sue and I are like, oh, man, that's amazing. We land. I'm like, you saw it, right? He's like, so what? He never looked to the left. And it was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me.
I know. See, we got to go back. Anyway, welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Rander Strong.
And I want my gifts. I'm Wilfred O.
Over the past year, we have traveled the United States with one stop in Canada on tour for this here podcast. And there were a few things we could guarantee would happen at every stop. Ryder would have friends in any city. Will would be tasked to take a picture of me and a fan from Boy Meets World. And the mere mention of the movie, My Date with the President's Daughter, will create an instant standing ovation. We've watched the popularity of this DCOM vehicle for Will and this week's guest. go from a few scattered claps to a pure chaotic moment of nostalgia over the last few months. And keep in mind, the movie isn't even legally streaming anywhere, and the version on YouTube looks like it was filmed in a cave. So when his co-star also popped up on the season 3 Boy Meets World standout episode, The Last Temptation of Corey, we knew we had to get her on the podcast. She broke on the scene as a 6-year-old in Disney's One Magic Christmas, then as a teenage Alice in the company's live-action puppet musical Adventures in Wonderland. She'd end up with appearances on Highway to Heaven, Unhappily Ever After, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Charmed, Criminal Minds, One Tree Hill, and most notably as Morgan Brody on 3 seasons, aka over 80 episodes of CSI. But today, we're focusing on the one episode of a TGIF family sitcom where she fools the lead character into coming to her house and then corners him in a closet to make out with him. And we're going to talk a little bit about that President's Daughter movie, too. Let's welcome to Pod Meets World, Elizabeth Harnois. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with 2 things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
As a podcast focused on reliving memories from our past, I can tell you firsthand, as you get older, your memory just isn't as reliable as it used to be.
Yeah, if we didn't have Will here, there would be a lot of dead air.
That is true, Robert. Well, guys, since I know you need a little help, you're going to love Legacy Box. It's the safest way to digitize your home videos and pictures, even when you think you don't have a way to watch them anymore.
Oh, this is perfect, especially with Mother's Day right around the corner.
It really is the perfect gift for the whole family, whether it's a sweet 16 or college graduation.
First steps or performing a Backstreet Boys dance in between scenes on your childhood network sitcom. This is the way to reconnect with your history.
The process is so easy. You just fill your legacy box with old VHS or camcorder tapes, pictures, negatives, film reels. I mean, they even work with over 15 different types of analog media, so they have you covered.
Then you just send the box back, and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the U.S., and you'll get it all back on the cloud or on a thumb drive, along with your originals.
I recently sent off my first box to Legacy Box, and I got into my old storage unit and found about 40 tapes, all different media, and I was able to label each one and send it off. I cannot wait to see what these tapes hold.
Jensen and I also recently got some of his home videos digitized, and being able to hear his parents' voices again has been a real gift.
So join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
It's time to connect with your past and make sure those memories are preserved properly.
That's legacybox.com/world.
There she is.
Hey!
Hi! How are y'all?
How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm so good.
You look fantastic. What glorious hair you have.
Oh, thank you. It's so all good. Mine, actually.
I love it. So we like to start off with these episodes asking about your Hollywood origin story. Now, you had an earlier start than most. Tell us, how did you end up getting into the business at 5 years old?
I think my parents kind of saw in me a very outgoing, performative child. I was, actually. I would memorize commercials. I would perform for them just without being asked. And they were like, let's channel this energy. I also probably think I had undiagnosed ADD, so all that energy was... but they wanted to channel that energy into something that I clearly was my interest. And so they just took a chance. They called SAG and got a list of agents. The first agent we went into was actually a really reputable agency that's no longer, he passed away years ago, but I got signed on that like fluke meeting with just a little, like, what do they call them? Comp cards or like,
yes. Just,
like,
oh yeah.
And it all just happened very fast. Like the first audition I did, I booked, which was just unheard of. It was a, was it the movie or the commercial? I believe it was the Where Are the Children, the first movie that I did.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I just worked. It just kind of happened really, really fast. And they literally just went through, you know, I guess my dad he grew up in Southern California. So he kind of understood a little bit about the industry. Right. My from Michigan and had no idea. And I think just him, you know, growing up in around Los Angeles, he kind of knew who to call and how to approach it. But none of my family was in the industry at all. They just kind of figured it out.
Unbelievable. It's amazing how many people we have talked to whose families had absolutely no connection to the industry at all. Yeah. And how people just figure it out. My mom read a book to get the list of agents. Your parents called SAG. It's so interesting how that works out.
Yeah, because most people, like when you come from a small town or middle America or just not from a big city, people just think, they just automatically think it's so out of reach. And you know what I mean? They just don't understand. Like, it actually isn't that hard. You just seek the information. And so. Right.
Wow. Yeah. You went to high school in Moreno Valley, right?
Yeah. I went to high school in Moreno Valley, which was actually really nice too. Like, my school experiences were really nice. Except for the occasional, like, you know, kid who was rude or mean because of what I was doing extracurricularly. But I have to say, mostly I was blessed. Like, I was mostly very much supported by my friends. So that was cool. I also kind of ran with like a lot of theory people. So,
well, that's actually exactly what I wanted to ask you. Like, did you have two separate groups of friends? Did you have like your actor group of friends and then your high school friends? Did the two ever intermingle?
Yeah. I mean, so it wasn't until I was about like maybe 15, I think I was about 15 when I did Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
I have to do the dates, but, that's about right. Up until that point, like, not a lot, because I was on a show that was just me as the only child and all the other characters were adults. And so I was a little alienating. And it wasn't until I started to get into my teens that I broke into having some LA friends and feeling that vibe.
Right.
You know, going on little dates with actor boys. And
yes. I want to know who are the actor boys? Tell me about the date,
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Exactly.
Did you?
The only one I can say that it happened a little bit was Matthew Lawrence after I did Brotherly Love.
I love it. New friend of the family.
Wow. Yeah.
Me and my friend Rebecca Herbst, she was going out with Joey. She was a little older than me. And she was hooking up with Joey. And so she was, and we were good friends. And she was like, And then the mathy thing happened. It was very cute. It was very like, we're going out with the brotherly love brothers.
It's so fun when that happens when you're girlfriends.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. But in terms of having separate groups of friends, definitely. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. Once it started happening, it was, I tried my best to integrate every now and like my couple of my best friends I would bring into the world of, you know, my work, and they were always cool and we could do it. But, you know, Moreno Valley is an hour, like 2 hours outside of Los Angeles.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and that's where I went to high school. So
did you go to college in Connecticut?
Yes.
That's okay. That's what I thought. You went to Wesleyan, right? Yeah. So that's what my parents, when I told them the last time that you and I had spoken, they were like, oh, we miss her. She went to school in Connecticut. Like, they remember that instantly, that you had gone to college in Connecticut, just being from Connecticut. So that's what we remember back in Connecticut, is other people who've been
other people who went to school in Connecticut. I was very proud to, like, I wanted to go to the East Coast. I was like, I need that cold college. I want seasons. And it was like either NYU. I applied to Yale and got waitlisted. And Wesleyan was actually my first choice. But that was the best times of my life. Honestly, I'm so glad I left and went and did that. Some of the best people I have in my
smart.
Life. You know, it was just a good experience.
Is that in Middletown?
Middletown, Connecticut, yes.
It is Middletown. Okay, so the one day I had a real job was directly across the street from the Wesleyan campus. I worked at a motorcycle shop for one day.
One day?
One day. And I sold two lawnmowers. I was very proud of myself. And that was right. That's how I know Middletown is right.
Why did the motorcycle shop?
Because it had like all kind of stuff. It was a Honda shop. So it had like bikes.
It's Connecticut.
How old were you?
14, maybe?
Yep. Maybe that's why you only worked there one day. Are you even legally allowed to be working at 14?
Legal. What's legal? Come on.
That sounds about right for Will.
What's legal? Come on.
He had a fake ID. He was telling them he was 18.
Because I wanted to sell lawnmowers. I had to start my career. Middletown, Connecticut. Yep. Great place.
Did you just not show up for day two, or did they fire you?
The guy was a client of my dad, so he allowed me to work at the shop one day. I helped out one day.
He knew how young you were then.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, all right, let's see what the kid can do. And he was like, you sold two lawnmowers. I was like, yep, sure did. Yep.
Look at you.
He became Southern suddenly? Sure did.
Sure did.
He must be in Philly.
Sure I'm did. In Philly. I'm from the East Coast, son. So we're Southern.
We're Southern in the East Coast.
We're Southern down there in the East Coast, son.
Magic Christmas was your first project with Disney, which is a company you would become somewhat synonymous with for most of your childhood. It starred Mary Steenburgen and Harry Dean Stanton, who are two actors who have totally different reputations on sets.
Yeah.
What do you remember about filming this as your first big job?
It was incredible. I have to say it was incredible. I mean, I was kind of in awe the whole time. I was very young, still acting from a place of complete, I joke about this all the time. I'm like, it's probably some of my best acting.
And like, how old were you?
I was only five, but it's like one of those things, like when you're at that age, the lines blur between reality and what you're doing. And you can really get into it. It's just, everything is so natural. Literally when I go back and watch that, I'm like, I got to get back to that place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was great. And also working with Mary Steenburgen was very, very nurturing and motherly to me. Mm-hmm. And we've remained friends. I ended up going to Wesleyan with her daughter. Like, we had some weird connections that brought us back together, working with Ted Danson on CSI, you know, so there was like all these things that kept us in each other's lives. But, you know, she and I, she was just great to me. But Harry Dean, it was a very funny experience working with Harry Dean, because not only was he the sweetest man, but he wasn't always sober. So we would be doing scenes. I don't think this is an unknown fact. So I don't think I'm putting something out there that's bad.
No, it's pretty well known. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, but as a child, for me, it was just kind of like, well, he's just kind of a funny guy. He talks kind of slow sometimes. And sometimes like they would make fun of me and him. Because I'd be doing a scene with him and I'd be waiting for him to say his line, but he couldn't, he'd be like searching and searching and searching. And then finally it would be on my back. And I would, because when it was not on my coverage, right. And I would be like whispering his lines. So we could get through the scene. God. Like, I have very, very clear memories of doing this. And then one time he went, I know, He got so mad.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Like, I know, Elizabeth.
Wow. So funny. Yeah. I mean, in a way, if, you know, it's that's the cutest thing ever. Like, and actually very helpful. If I were ever in those shoes and a 5-year-old was whispering my lines to me and honestly, keep it coming. Thank you. Just right? Tell me what I'm supposed to say. But of course, it feels a little insulting when you have a 5-year-old who knows all your lines.
Nah.
Yeah. But actually, both of them were, in their own way, very good to me. I have very good memories of working on that. And the director was, he's a very well-respected, you know, Canadian director, a beloved Canadian director. I'm sad he's not with us anymore, but he was great, too. He just knew how to make everything feel very much like we were in a real family. And it made it fun. It made it feel, not feel like work. Like that movie, I actually had more to do than my first movie. And so it was a lot more work. And I was just learning about what that meant. And it didn't feel like work. It just felt like fun, except for when we were like in the snow for hours and I was freezing. But, you know,
yeah,
that was fine. Kids
the
are
joys, the joys of Christmas movies.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, before you ended up on Boy Meets World, you made a stop on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as Steffi during a time when a young Will Smith was just entering mainstream culture. What do you remember about working with Will before he went off to become a massive movie star?
So I got that job. I mean, I auditioned, but they kind of just read me because the producers didn't know me. The director knew me. He directed a lot of Adventures in Wonderland. Mm. Shelley Jensen was his name. And so I was super excited because I was a fan of the show. I was like, I want to do it. Absolutely. But the problem was that the character had to be kind of sexy. And my mom was still very much holding on to me not being any of those things at all.
Right. Right. So, yes.
How old were you?
I was 15 for that, I think. 14 okay. or 15. I might have been. Yeah, I was about 14 or 15. But I was starting to get, you know, grow things. Things were growing in and I was able to. You know, things like that. And there was a scene where I had to be in a bathing suit. It's supposed to be like a very sexy bikini. And the whole joke is just that, like, I'm this neighbor, this young neighbor who just keeps coming through their house, you know, coming to their parties. And they're like, oh, she's so hot, but that's so not okay, you know. But my mom was like, she's not wearing a sexy bikini. And Shelley was like, I really want you for this part. I want you to do this, but this is like an important thing. And they compromised on this bathing suit that was so hideous. And I had to sell it with my performance and the way that I walked and everything, with the attitude more than the actual revealing nature of the outfit.
Right.
Because it was like, it looked like, you know, like how toddlers have like a little like sports bra top and high-waisted bikini bottom as their bathing suits. Yes. That's what I was wearing. It was just very not you know exactly.
Right, not what you would think of when you think of the storyline.
Got it. Everything went fine. One of my biggest memories about doing Fresh Prince and working with Will, he was very in that, you know, he knew he was coming up, he knew he was becoming a big star, he knew it, and he was a really very sweet person, very good to me. He knew, you know, he loved Shelley, the director, so, and he knew that I came through Shelley, so he was very good to me. But before each show, he would bring everybody into his dressing room. And the way he hyped everybody up for the show is he would, like, we were all crammed in like sardines, and he would play his music so loud and jump up and down, jump up and down, jump up. And everybody had to jump up and down.
Oh.
It was like how we got hyped.
No way. Wait a minute. I can't believe this.
His songs, like his actual
his
Will Smith
music.
Song?
That's, I want to start doing this now. I want to bring you guys into my dressing room and play my music. Me singing.
No. I want you to bring us into your room. This will hold on. If it were Ryder doing it, he would bring us into his room and read us his poetry.
His poetry.
And we would have to jump up and down.
Everybody.
Oh, that's kind of brilliant. You've got to, you play your own music to bump everybody up.
That's not the only time that happens. Also,
tell me every time.
Started to record his music, and he was like trying to do music. When we our first date, we were all on this giant escalator something.
I need you to say it one more time. Who was it?
Joey Lawrence. He was blasting his own music in the car, and my friend and I are sitting in the back seat just like
Oh, that's kind of the best, though.
Wait, is this when you guys, is this when you and your friend were dating?
We had a couple dates, yeah.
Oh my gosh, on a date, you guys, on a date.
You're in the car with Matt having to listen to this.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's just all those kind of moments. Like, I understand it. Like, I have friends who are musicians, and obviously they want you to sit and listen. Actually, in a car is the best place to listen in terms of when you're mixing and finalizing the way it sounds. But it wasn't that. That's not what was happening. It was just funny track. Let's listen. Whatever. I have no negative feelings about it. It was just very like the patients, the Fresh Prince thing too was me. I was just like, whoa, this is like a level of self hype.
Yes, self love.
Yeah.
Before, like self love. I've never seen this before.
I really love those stories. And now we're going to have to hype ourselves up for our podcast live tours, I guess, by listening to our podcast.
Yeah, our podcast theme over and over.
The podcast theme.
Or just us talking.
But it's not just us. We have to bring the whole crew and the set and the sound stage and everybody together. Like, come here. We need
Easton to check in. Are you guys recording?
You guys recording.
You guys recording on your own?
Are we recording?
Yeah. We're recording.
We are recording. Do we have any ads today?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, okay, Elizabeth, you were music mattered to you though, because I imagine you still are, but you were a pretty terrific singer. Do you still sing? And did you start early in your career singing as well, or was that later? Yeah.
I mean, you know, singing, I just kind of started singing as a little tiny girl. Like I have all these pictures that my grandparents had around their house of me like standing up either at like my great grandmother's nursing home or like at like 3 years old, like getting up with a mic and singing. I guess I just had a little vibrato or something naturally as a child. And then, so my mom was like, oh, you know, I want more. And she was always asking me to sing. And so I just, then, you know, in church, the church choir.
Sure.
So I came up in music a lot, I think, especially in church. Like I was in the kids choir in church and they were giving me all the solos and stuff. And it, honestly, I didn't train for it until like, I didn't actually think about technique and singing and any of that until I was after I had done Adventures in Wonderland, which I sang on like the entire time. But that's where I met the vocal coach that I ended up working with for years after. And she kind of got me all the tools, get rid of the crack and, you know, all that stuff. I was probably around the time that I had coached with her around the time that we went to do karaoke. Like,
oh, really? When you
probably why I sounded so good at that.
You crushed it at that karaoke. I, on the other hand, was not signed to any label after that.
No.
I did both parts of I Got You Babe, which is my karaoke go-to.
I Got You Babe as your karaoke go-to?
Yeah, again, both
That's
parts.
What I did on Boy Meets World. You realize that, right?
Yeah,
when we did the karaoke,
you watched that? Yeah. No.
No.
Oh, okay, no, I've been doing I Got You Babe since back in the day. And I do the, I got you, no, I'll do my own voice. No, I can't sing.
You do Sonny and Cher?
Hell yes, I do Sonny and Cher.
That's clever. I can see that.
So
you make it a bit.
Well, no, I sing my heart out. As you're supposed to. I just happen to do both roles because I'm a versatile writer.
What did you sing, Elizabeth?
Did I remember? Sing Blue?
Yep, you sung Blue. Yeah. And we came out of the booth. I came out of the booth and I had the smile on my face because the engineer was there. You know, there's all these separate booths. We're in Toronto. And so I come out and you go and they make you like your tape so you can keep your tape.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I was like,
this
hey, bro.
Like karaoke. This was like a make an album.
Yeah, but like a gym, you're still, like, it's karaoke, it's still on the screen in front of you, but they record it, and then you get your tape. And so I came out and I was like, hey, bro, I'm going to need that tape because I got a meeting with RCA next week. And he's just transfixed. He got headphones on and he's transfixed. And I'm like, I knew I was good, but this is a little too much. And he's like, the girl in booth two is killing it right now.
That's so
and of
sweet.
Course, it was Elizabeth singing Blue. So yeah, he was like, I might make other copies. I was like, I don't know if you're allowed to do that.
But he's like, I've never heard.
Yeah, but I distinctly remember that. Yeah, you crushed that song.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's actually fun. After Mark Mothersbaugh, you know who Mark Mothersbaugh is, right? From Devo.
Yes.
Yes. After I did Adventures, he was the music supervisor for Adventures in Wonderland. And he wanted to work with me and develop me as a recording artist at that time. My mom was not ready for me to go and be like a pop star. She was like, no, we'll wait. And then, you know, the moment passed. I do kind of regret that, that I didn't get the opportunity.
That she crushed your dreams.
Well, you know, my mom was very protective, and my both of my parents, and understandably, I mean, I have no problem with them being that way, but
yeah,
I have,
protective.
But I was real ready when I was 18 right. to be like, he knows. That's when we worked together right after.
Yeah.
I turned 18. I signed my own contract. I'm out. You know. Mm.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Sometimes it's a struggle between buying what you want over buying what you need.
But with the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can do both. You can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you can earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking.
Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like those new golf clubs you've been eyeing.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a divot repair tool after you've torn up your lawn.
Let's try that again. Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like workout equipment for your home.
And then earn 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller to soothe your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
You mentioned a couple of times Adventures in Wonderland, so I wanted to talk about that because it was a puppet show for Disney based on Alice in Wonderland, right?
It wasn't a puppet show. It was basically a live action. It was a bunch of Broadway actors playing, you know, all the Wonderland characters, and I played Alice, and it was basically a learning show. It was developed to be an educational show, both socially educational, like social consciousness, but also spelling and, you know, grammar and things like that. And they did it in a very sort of subtle way where kids didn't realize they were learning great about it. And it was also very funny. So the adults could watch it too. And it was a musical show. We did two episodes a week. I worked six days a week for 2 years straight.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a hard time. That was, it was a blast. It was like hardcore training for like, you know, it was like being on Broadway or something as a child. Because I guess on Broadway, they do probably 6 days a week as well. They probably alternate children, though. I don't know. I was the only child. But it was hard, but it was great. And I won a bunch of Emmys, you know, for different things, you know, for educational show and things like that. So it's a really great thing to be a part of. And it has such a cult following now. It's like people who grew up watching it, there's like a little cult following for it. Like it's still in the consciousness, and it's on Disney Plus actually. So,
oh, how fun.
It looks really, it was shot on video, so it looks fabulous, but
yeah. Well, so does Boy Meets World. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Right.
Standard def.
Yeah.
So
weird.
Speaking of Boy Meets World, do you remember auditioning, and had you seen the show at all before you auditioned for Boy Meets World?
Of course I did. I was a fan of the show. I don't remember my audition. I'm sure that I did. Obviously I auditioned. But what I remember about it was being a little bit intimidated, because I just thought like, oh, this cast is going to be like real cool and like, you know, in their own little cliques and everything. And
yeah,
and
always a concern when you're a guest star.
Yeah. And with young people, especially, like, cause kids can be mean, and actor kids can be bratty and mean. And you guys were nothing like that. It was very welcoming. I remember you, Danielle, were like, we had no scenes together.
I know.
But you were so sweet to me. And I remember, because I thought you were the cutest human being in the world. I was like, she's adorable. She's so pretty.
Aww,
and I was like, we were leaving after rehearsal. You were on set. We were there at the same time, and we were walking out. We had hung out a little bit, but you like, I was like, oh, you're so cute. And I was like putting my arm around you. You're like, hugged me around my waist. And you were like, I love you.
Aww. Nobody fakes sincerity like Danielle.
Yeah, she's the best.
Shut
yeah.
You two are the worst.
What did you say?
I said nobody fakes sincerity like Danielle. And she really, she's
she makes you feel special in the fakest way. It's so,
Meanwhile, just a couple of weeks ago, Ryder's saying, do you remember that very sweet gift you went way out of your way to get for me as a teenager? And now here we are. And also, Ryder, I've got Adam Scott on the other line. He'd like to have a word with you.
Yeah, if I just hugged him back and been as
none of this
fake as you, it would have been fine.
Wow.
I love it.
Care if it was fake sincerity. For me, it was just like, great, they're not being mean.
No, it's actually real sincerity from Danielle. Danielle was always very sweet.
It didn't feel fake.
It wasn't fake. I was also, by the way, regularly the only girl on set for any extended period of time. So there were always guest star girls that would come, you know, come onto the set, but they were usually, you know, they were there for a week. And so when they were there, I was always happy to have like a female friend. Ryder was off sulking.
I was thinking about it, like just me growing, doing the show with all the adults. I'm like, I wonder what it was like for Danielle to be just have the three boys all the time.
Yeah. Like, well, Will wasn't in school with us.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to spend a lot of time with Will. Although we were friendly, we weren't like
friends. We got along
friend.
Very well, but it was like a little sister, older brother kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was like, you know, we'd see each other for run-throughs and, you know, in between or at the commissary, we would eat dinner together and stuff like that. And Ryder, who I loved and was truly one of my closest friends, was regularly moody and preoccupied with his.
I just wouldn't do photo shoots with you. If I'd been a little bit more like Andrew Keegan, we could have so many photos together. And instead,
Ryder, you'd be creepy amount.
You'd be surprised to know, Ryder, I have a lot of pictures with you. You took quite a few pictures. You participated in my photo shoots.
Oh God, that's funny.
Well, I'm glad that.
You, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that we made you feel welcome and that you felt like you were welcomed there and had a warm set to be on, because there is truly nothing worse than the anxiety you feel going as a guest star on a show where you know everyone's going to have their clicks.
It was a big episode for you, too. I mean,
it really was.
Carry that entire episode. It's a big
funny things about that whole experience. I think I probably lost a few fans playing that role because I was the girl. who, I mean, people came up to me after that aired and were like, I used to like you, but I don't like you now because you
tried to take Corey.
Tried to take Corey.
You tempted Corey.
And I was very like assaulting in that episode. Like,
I'm
very like, when I watched it back, it's so weird in the present time to watch these things again and just go, wow, that just seemed fine.
Totally.
Just, like normal. And the way they directed it, they were telling me that I think because they wanted to keep that balance of like, he's not fully at fault or something. So they definitely like urged me to be even more like,
commanding.
Predatory.
No, you're right. I mean, and we are watching, yes, it's pretty aggressive. And I think in our recap, we called it out because then later Corey doesn't say, you know, she kissed me. He says, you know, I kissed her. And it's like, wait. I really, to be fair, you kind of were assaulted.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was like a gray area. At least when I watched it back, I felt like the fact that he allowed it to like,
Didn't leave.
Wasn't like I was like holding his head to my face. He did actually happen. And he was like, whoa, at the end of it. So
yeah. They did set up your character, though, to really be wearing a leather jacket in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Fast girl.
Like, that's how they differentiated them on Boy Meets World. If you're in a leather jacket, ooh.
Yeah.
Do you remember that kissing scene? Do you remember, like, was that one of, had you done a bunch of other kissing scenes before that, or was this one of your first?
This was one of my first, probably. I think I did, like, one other one when I was, like, probably around that same year. I don't know which one came first. That was probably one of my first ones. Yeah.
How did your mom feel about those kissing scenes?
Oh, she's fine. She wasn't like puritanical or anything. She just, you know, didn't want me to get sexualized too early.
Yeah.
So, smart. I mean, that was her big thing. That's why she was afraid to let me get into the music industry too early. Like I was only 13 when that was starting to happen. So, you know, she just didn't want me to get sexualized too early, but things like kissing, you know, that was fine. And actually he had really like puffy, sweet little lips.
Oh, I love that.
Danielle, can you confirm? Can you confirm?
Pull quote for
we'll both Savage. Confirm.
Puffy, sweet little lips.
Puffy, sweet little lips.
Oh, that's very sweet.
I mean, you're asking about what do I remember at the kiss? Like he did have like, that was what it felt like, very pillowy.
Oh, wow.
Pillowy lips.
Pillowy lips. Great.
And then, so you don't have any scenes with Will in Boy Meets World.
No.
But then you end up with this little comedic genius in My Date with the President's Daughter.
Yes.
When did you realize this movie has a cult following?
Probably like a couple years ago, probably 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, throughout my whole, since we did it, anytime it aired, I mean, I got recognized for that movie more than anything I'd ever done.
Wow.
And so it was because they would rerun it and it would just, people recorded it, they watched it again. It was just like a favorite for some reason. So throughout my whole career, I knew that it had some sort of special following, but in the last 2 years, some young people who were nannying for a friend of mine, were like, oh my God, you're the girl from My Date with the President's Daughter. And they were like easily like 21 or 22. And they were like, I'm like, you know that movie, like you weren't born. and they were like, oh my God, we love it. If you were to do a TikTok right now, like you're actually trending on TikTok right now. The pink dress was like the to die for thing. And so I guess it was trending because of the dress and because of a clip. The clip of me coming out of, you know, the clip of me coming out of the dressing room when we go shopping.
Yeah. And you take your hair down.
And I'm like,
Yep. Big hair movie.
Big hair movie. You too. Friends.
That's what I'm saying. It was a big hair movie all the way around. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't we have a hair off? Yeah, we had a hair off.
I think we had a hair off and you won, obviously. But now the only question going through my head is, are my lips pillowy?
your lips were so great.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure that because
no,
I mean,
I think, you know what I think it was. Maybe that's just a heightened sense memory with when it comes to, kissing Ben because it was really one of the first kisses. It's probably just a heightened sense memory.
What she's saying is she has no memory of your lips.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's about. Hey, I'm fine with that. I want to be forgotten when it comes to relationships. I'm okay with just forget I was ever part of it. That's fine with that. Forget we ever kissed. Just forget it.
Right. No, no. You were great, though. You had, I mean, by
well,
the
we
end,
had fun.
Good friends that it was like.
We had a ton of, I mean, it was the 90% of that movie was just you and I together running around.
Running around, yeah.
So it was, I mean, we had a ton of fun shooting that. And like Trojan War, I mean, this was a movie that the vast majority of it was shot, supposed to take place in one night. Right. So it's, you know, we're out there 3 o'clock in the morning in the streets of Toronto most nights for a month. And yeah, we bonded. We really did. We had a ton of fun doing that together.
Never seen this movie. Do you end up together? How's it work?
Well, I don't want to ruin it for you, Ryder, if you've never seen it.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
So it's all one crazy date is the idea?
Watching and the quality of it will be not great because it's, I think they see it as YouTube, but if you want to, you know, take the piss a little bit out of either of us in the future or just watch it, definitely that might be the value in watching it, but it's an enjoyable film.
I do think we still need to do a Pod Meets World, My Day with the President's Daughter rewatch.
Okay. We did it on Magical Rewind, but
I know you already did it, but I think
we would love to do that as well. I think we should.
I would love that. It's all
because I think Ryder needs to see it. Yeah,
yes, no, you can be there, please.
You're going to be there as well. No, we had fun. I mean, it was. It's like, you know, this kid makes a bet with his friends that he can bring a date to the dance. And meanwhile, the president's daughter keeps sneaking away from her Secret Service because she's not allowed to have any life. And the president's Dabney Coleman.
Her life is so repressed that she desperately wants
freedom.
It's like Ryder sneaking away from his Disneyland guide.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Except the president.
I might really relate to this.
You could.
This
could be my film.
Why? They're so expensive.
I know, he didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, Ryder didn't appreciate it. I think that his guide is literally still sitting outside of the Hard Rock Cafe line, hoping that he's okay. No, we had fun. We had fun doing that movie. It was 97, 98?
Nice, 98, I think. Well, one of those years. Yeah.
And it has been confirmed by Elizabeth herself that I did indeed audition.
I have...
You auditioned for My Day with the President's Daughter?
I apparently did. And I have no memory of it, but that's not surprising to anyone who's listened to this podcast at all. I have a very bad memory. And I just can't believe that, like, did Will already have the part? Were they really thinking about putting Will and
that's
me
fair.
In a movie together? Where
Will,
we
did you audition
kissed?
For it or did they just give it to you?
Me?
I don't remember. I think I went in and read once, but I think it was kind of a foregone conclusion that I was going to do it. But that could be wrong. I mean, when I went and met Alex Zam, who's the director of the film, when I walked in, they obviously wanted the synergy of somebody on that was already on ABC because this was the Wonderful World of Disney, which was going to be ABC.
Right.
So I definitely read, but I think it was more like a meeting reading than it was waiting with a bunch of people in the waiting room kind of thing. But yeah, I think I was cast first because Elizabeth, did we read together?
I think so. Didn't we? No.
I'm glad I'm not remember. The only one with a bad memory. It makes me feel a lot better about myself.
Listen, he reminded me of so many things that happened on the set when we did our, for his other podcast. I was like, oh my God, I forgot about Dave Chappelle. I forgot about, so don't feel bad. I do remember that, it was a very like energy driven audition. Like there was a lot of physicality and like sort of, but it might've not been you. I can't remember.
I can't remember if we did either. Yeah.
But what I told them, when he asked me on his other podcast was that when I was walking in, you were literally leaving the audition room and I was like, oh my God, she's probably going to get it. She's so great. That's what I'm thinking in my head. But then I went, wait, why would they have her playing the romantic opposite of somebody who's on the same shows are. So I was thinking the same things. I was sort of like, maybe that's not going to happen. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
You were also underage, weren't you, Danielle?
Yeah, well, if you filmed it in 97, I was no more than 16. I would have turned 16 in May of that year.
So, yeah, there would have been a lot of creepiness that would have been involved.
Well.
You were also horrible. I mean,
that's true.
Probably just an actor.
You had the role until I went, I'm not working with her. That's
also, that's very likely. So you're probably right. I wasn't good.
Bombed that audition.
We're at the final audition. You were in the final, like, you were like one of the final people. So
oh my God. You probably went back multiple times, Danielle, and you have no idea. You,
no memory.
You were too busy doing a photo shoot with Andrew in the parking lot. You I was don't like, even guys, remember. You were like,
every
Andrew's
minute
car
I'm
is
in
outside.
Here,
I
could be
care.
Driving I stick shift with Andy outside. And
yeah, you remember this audition as well as Elizabeth remembers kissing me.
Wow. Yeah. I remember kissing you. Fabulous.
Oh, see?
No, she's rewriting
it.
Don't
fake it. We all know the truth.
She's Danielle faking it.
She remembers Danielle hugging her more than she remembers Chloe Lips. That's
she remembers right. the feel of my arms around yeah, her waist.
That That's
was
fine.
That I fake sincerity was way better than Will's kissing.
I buy that. I totally buy it.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Well, to be fair, they also wouldn't let us have like a very like crazy kiss. So it was a very delicate, sweet kiss.
We did, and we were like very far apart from each other. Our and we did the hip thing where we like moved in awkwardly to kiss.
Oh, I can't wait to see this movie. I cannot wait to see this movie.
I know. I want to watch.
I think you pointed out, and I think you're right, that they had us each standing on marks that they didn't want us to leave because of the green screen where the Lincoln Memorial's behind us and the reflecting pools in front of us. So it was probably like, you know, 90s green screen. So it's like, don't move, just lean in and kiss each other. And then we do this weird, awkward sixth grade hug to end the date. It was very strange.
It was really awkward. That part, I was like, why didn't they just stay in the closer shot for that?
Yeah.
Right.
And have Hallie assault Duncan the way that you assaulted Ben on on Boy Meets World.
Right. That's what I wanted to do, but they wouldn't.
She kept asking for that. So it would be a true crime if we did not talk about the pink dress, which, by the way, someone online said is this generation's Marilyn Monroe white dress standing over the drafty great.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, that was said online. I don't have their username, but it was said. Did
That's
you?
So amazing.
Isn't it great? I know. What a compliment. Did you know when you tried it on, when you wore it, did you know that it would become memorable? Did you think like this dress is going to make a mark?
No, absolutely not. I've told this story a couple times because the dress has been a part of my interviews a lot. And
yeah,
the reality is when I was first given the dress to try on, I was very self-conscious in it. I had not yet played a role where I was playing, like doing something that's sexy. And I was very kind of self-conscious. I thought I looked, you know, the crazy minds we had when we were young. I thought I looked fat in it. That's just the crazy things that girls were made to feel back then. And I was kind of not wanting to wear it, and I tried to get out. I was like, what else do we have? And she's like, we tried on other things. And she was like, no, this is it. She's like, this is it. Everybody is loving this. I'm like, okay. So I had to wear it. And then by like, you know, day three, I was like, no, I actually kind of like this. I just had to feel myself in it and be like, I can wear a spandex mini dress. Sure. You know,
but we were like climbing stuff and jumping in and out of cars. And you were in a super short skirt and I'm like behind you, like right behind you as we're sneaking out of things. And
I know,
and it was
very funny.
It was.
Lots of,
Did you wear bike shorts? Like, do you remember, did you wear stuff under it? Okay.
Bike shorts for sure. Cause we were climbing ladders and everything. But In terms of the dress becoming popular, like that was one of the things that early on, I think when I started to get recognized and people would actually talk about the dress even then. And I've been interviewed by like fashion, you know, websites and magazines and stuff about that dress. Just like, it really is like, it's just one of those things you never think like you realize how important good wardrobe is when something like that happens and how it can really just, it drew more attention to the entire film, and it was you know, which is kind of crazy.
Well, yeah. I can obviously so very relate to all of the things you were saying about the way you felt when you put the dress on and all of the insecurity you felt. But I hope that all these years later, you're able to look back and see very clearly now that truthfully, what got all of the attention it's not the dress. It's truthfully the way you brought the dress to life. Your body in that dress is what made that dress so spectacular. Mm. So I hope that, you know, when you look back on it, you don't think, wow, crazy that this little flimsy piece of pink fabric was so noteworthy. What has been the reason it's noteworthy is truly because of you and your beauty and what you, how you embodied it. You brought the dress to life. So it's truly a testament to you and the way you carried it more so than any piece of fabric.
Well, thank you very much. Wow. That's very sweet.
It's the truth.
She does. She fakes sincerity better than anybody else.
No, I think that so was believable. I really felt it.
I bought that.
I
all the way.
No, what I mean, honestly, what I was thinking is like, too? What I was thinking is how great it is that Danielle can say that, because like, imagine a guy saying like we, yeah. I haven't seen the movie, but like, I cannot say like your body in that dress. Right. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, but Danielle saying it actually, that it's a really great sentiment.
It is. No, it's phenomenal. No,
it's beautiful. And it was really nice, Danielle. That's cool.
I
could not say that.
No, we can't talk about your body here.
No, we couldn't be like, well, the way you wear it.
Your body. Hey, you know, what sold it was your body.
Yeah, well, it wasn't just a piece of fabric. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, these two. You see what I have to deal with every day? My gosh.
I love this. Okay. This dynamic is awesome. It's
great. I know, my cheeks hurt. This vein in my forehead is popping out. I can't control it.
Danielle, it's not the vein. It's how you wear it. That's
it's
really
totally
cool.
It's the.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh, I know. Belly hurts. Okay.
I know, seriously. Okay. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Sometimes it's a struggle between buying what you want over buying what you need.
But with the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can do both. You can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you can earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking.
Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like those new golf clubs you've been eyeing.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a divot repair tool after you've torn up your lawn.
Let's try that again. Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like workout equipment for your home.
And then earn 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller to soothe your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash credit card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
It seems like the dynamics of the show Charmed have been dissected on social media nonstop for the last month. I know you guest starred on the show as Brooke in an episode called Magic Hour. What was your experience on Charmed? What was your day-to-day like on set?
So, Charmed was good. It was actually really good. Alyssa Milano was a sweetheart to me. Like she really like took me under her wing, and a lot of my stuff was with her too. So that was helpful, but definitely as a young person, I sensed the tension on the set. Like it was the other two were nice to me, but like not as effusively kind as Alyssa was. And they were always off in their own space. And she would sit all the way on the other side of the set by herself. And like, there was a major divide on that set. Even back then, like and I don't think that was that long into the show. It was like only a couple of seasons into the show. So I don't know.
Wow.
It was, that part was interesting because I hadn't really ever, as I was young, I hadn't really ever witnessed anything like that on a set where people like really aren't hiding, not liking each other. Mm. And I don't know enough about what's going on there, but.
Right. But interesting that it could be felt by
And it made me, I remember when we were doing scenes, I felt like, you know, when you're trying to be natural and be in the scenes, and it was all three of us, my stomach was tight like the whole time. I felt like when cut was called and it would just be like,
wow.
And that affects the fifth wheel in the scene, the person, it affects the whole it feels icky. So
totally.
In terms of how I was treated, it was great, but just being in that energy was strange.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. I got to hold a baby owl, a real life owl, that episode, and that was probably the coolest part of the whole job. Baby owl was just like looking up at me and
how cute.
Yeah, until you find out that the owl did not get along with anybody on the cast.
The owl was drunk and you had to feed it its lines.
Your line is who? I know.
I know.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
So funny.
I give those things, but anyway.
Can we talk a little bit about CSI?
Yes.
Because every time that I mentioned that you were coming on the last podcast, this podcast, my wife Susan is like, oh my God, tell her again how much I loved her on CSI. So this is, you came on to like a juggernaut of a show. What season did you join?
So that whole experience happened because I had done I forget, it was like season
27?
11, 10 or 11.
10, okay.
And I had basically been offered that part off of doing a show that was very short-lived that Bruckheimer also produced called Miami Medical. And they just really liked me on that show and they were sad that it didn't go. And I remember he called me up directly after that and was like, just so you know, we want to work with you again. And that's going to happen. So I know he literally said, you can have these conversations in Hollywood all the time. And it never falls through. He said, we are following through with you for sure. And I was like, wow, that was an insane conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you. Did not expect that. And then within like a month or month and a half, I got the call that they wanted me to become a new CSI on the show. I guess bring another element of like a little bit of a younger energy. They wanted a little more of a younger audience to start watching again, but it was a good time to bring in a new character on the younger end of the spectrum because Ted Danson had replaced Billy Peterson. So it was kind of like new faces on the show, a little bit of a relaunch of the show. And that was a nerve-wracking experience coming into that. Talk about having anxiety coming into a set.
Yeah.
Knowing that they'd been at it for over 10 years.
Wow.
And the same people, and they're, you know, either a family or they're not. I didn't know what their dynamic was going to be. But I got there and everybody was really welcoming and everybody seemed to get along with each other. And now to this day, like, some of those cast members are like some of my best friends.
And it reunited you with Mary Steenburgen, right? Because Ted Danson is married.
What really reunited me with her after the movie was the fact that I went to college with Lily. And we used to play together when we were kids because she would be on set. But it did reunite us again. Yeah, because, you know, even though I'd kind of been in their lives and like I had been in their lives a lot at that point. But, it, you know, time go, you know, you'd have months or years off. And it was like probably a year and a half when I got that. And I think like the best part of that really was, one of the best parts of that was working with Ted, because he was just one of the kindest, funniest, you know, someone like that who for me was, I just was always a fan of his. He was very, he had a sense of humor that that really, really worked on a set that when you're coming in and you're the new person they have to look to.
Yeah.
And it just, it really kind of made people fall in love with him very quickly. It was his sense of humor and the way that he talked to everybody, and just a very supportive person. So
that's great. I love hearing that about people that I respect, because he can do it all. I mean, you put him in Cheers, you put him in Drama, you put him in whatever, and he's going to kill it every time. So I love hearing stories like that about people I admire that much, where it's like, oh, it's, you want to meet him. He's everything you think he's going to be.
Everything. So,
thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Really, really true. I think the only other person I can say in my career who's that level of, you know, A-list or whatever, that I've worked with, that just kind of just opened my mind to like how good you can still be even with that level of success, was Dolly Parton.
And she was like your idol.
She was my idol.
Yeah.
But even so, like, just above and beyond, she goes above and beyond when you're working with her. Like, literally I was treated like family. I was like sleeping over. Like, it was just,
oh, cool.
And also because I was 15 or whatever when I worked with her. So she was very nurturing, but stayed in touch with me, you know, like still in touch with her, you know. It's just kind of, people like that are really special when you get to cross paths with them, you know.
That's so great.
In this biz. Mm-hmm.
Were you always supposed to be on for over 80 episodes when you started CSI, or did it just keep growing?
Basically I went on as a recurring. They wanted to contract me as a recurring, but I also had another offer for another pilot. And so their hand was forced to make me a series regular within the first week.
Nice.
Working. So I didn't have to go through that like wondering period of like, are they going to upgrade my contract and pay me more money?
Great.
So that was like a really kismet magical thing that happened there. And then, they just, you know, they were happy, I guess, with what I was doing and kept me in every episode. I mean, I did contract. I did make a contract to do a certain number to make sure that I was in, you know, all the episodes, or I wasn't going to do it. But they kept me very present in the episodes. It wasn't like, you know, standing in the background and just there because you were contracted for it, which was good. It was a nice, it's a great ensemble, and they usually, you know, keep everybody well in the storylines and well served in the storylines.
That's so great.
Yeah.
So you were recently working with Christian Oliver, who tragically passed away with his two young daughters in a plane crash. What were you working together on?
We were working together on a film that he was producing with a director that I had worked with about 4 or 5 years ago. They had stayed in touch and they were starting to make films together. And this was the first one they were doing independently outside of any other outside
production company.
Yeah. So it was a really important passion project for him. And it meant a lot to him, and it meant a lot to me that he wanted to work with me again, because I'd worked with Christian in that movie that I worked with that same director. So basically, it was reuniting the three of us. And it just felt like an honor that they wanted me to do it, because, you know, when a friend wants you to do something like that, it means that you're not just friends with them. They actually respect your work.
Yes.
And that's really meaningful to me. And I was really excited to be a part of it. It's currently, I'm not sure what the title is going to be. It was called Forever Hold Your Peace. And I think they're changing the title.
So you finished the film then?
We were close to finishing. We had one more day, but it was a day that was extras. So we were able to finish it.
Okay.
And you know, it's coming together. I think I honestly, for me, it's hard to even talk about the movie in the wake of what happened. And so for me, it's not really about the movie at this point. I mean, I care about it, but I care more about him and his family. And he was just one of the sweetest, kindest, cared about you on his set kind of people. He and I had a very easy working relationship where we were able to take like each other's cues, like without a lot of talking, just take each other's cues. We really worked together well in terms of if there was a bad energy happening around us, just like holding each other's hand and getting, you know, making sure that we were always where we needed to be with each other in each scene. And it was just a very giving acting experience, a very giving and reciprocally giving acting experience. But that's also who he was as a person. He was just a really generous, kind, loved his kids more than anything in the world. Human being. He's very, very sorely missed. It's a tragedy, you know?
I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm sorry for his family.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking back now, almost 30 years later, on both the Boy Meets World episode and my date with the president's daughter, can't believe how quickly we are inching towards 30 years from that. And with so much work on your resume, what do all of these decades of work mean to you now when you look back?
That's a great question. It's funny. I've been incredibly reminiscent lately. I don't know why. I think maybe because I've been asked to do a lot of different podcasts for things, the 90s coming into the consciousness of Gen Z and, you know, it's created this very like nostalgia driven days where I'll just be doing something and I'm like, oh, that was fun.
Or, oh. Yeah.
And anything that I feel like at this point in my life, I feel very proud. You know, I feel like I worked really hard most, you know, for a lot of years. And it's taught me a lot that I don't need to always be so driven all the time. Mm. You know, I'm happy to be, you know, exploring other things in my life. And, you know, it's not just about that stuff anymore. And that's really beautiful. Yeah. I mean, I just feel grateful. I feel when I think, look back about it, I feel really grateful, very grateful and proud, I guess.
You should be proud. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We are all very proud of you. I'm wrapping my arms around your waist. I love you
very
so
sincerely
much.
Hugging you.
Very sincerely, with all my heart. I love you forever and ever. Elizabeth, thank you so much for spending your time with us today. We've loved reminiscing with you and talking about your incredible career. So yeah, thank you for being here with us.
Thanks.
And we do want to do a Pod Meets World.
Yes.
My Date with the President's Daughter rewatch, and we
if
hope you'll join
that,
us for that.
I'm in.
All right, good.
That would be so fun. I just want to. I want you guys to just make fun of us. I just want that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'll happen. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
So you want it to be a regular Tuesday? Great.
You're laughing that hard every day. That's awesome.
It is. Yeah. It's pretty good. We love our lives. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Right, guys,
it was great talking with you. Bye.
Bye.
That's so fun. It's always so fun to talk with people you haven't seen since 30-ish years ago. Mm-hmm. I know, Will, you just saw her recently, so you've had
again
a couple
on
of opportunities.
Zoom.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
Still have that kind of, this is the new, hey, I just saw you thing, and it's still like, you know,
right.
We see each other all the time, and I still don't have my presents. So we obviously didn't see each other that much. So yeah, it's. I mean, again, I'd like. I want to actually see her. It'll be nice to, you know, be in the same space with her again, which would be fun. We got along very, very well. She's really easy to work with. Loves the work. Really enjoyable to be with on the set. Just goes.
Looks low. Great in the pink dress.
Like, looks wonderful just, in the pink dress. I'm allowed to say
a ladder
it, not
in front
you.
Of in that pink dress.
You're not allowed to say it.
She was 18 years old. This was the first job she did as an adult, and she took over and like negotiated her own contracts at 18.
Wow.
For my date. Yeah. She was like, because her mom was her manager at the time. She's like, I'm taking this. Wow. And so my date was the first time she like took the reins of her career. Really, really impressive.
Wow. I'll say. I still don't like to do that.
No, I don't either. I haven't had a contract for anything in years. I just go and assume they're
going to. I still call Judy Savage. Can you?
Judy!
Make this deal for me, Judy.
Judy!
It's the actor equivalent of still going to your pediatrician.
Totally.
Dr. Fortner! Something, I have an owie. Yeah, that's what it is.
Thank you all for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
My date with all of this merch now, oh yeah. Ryder, you'll know what that means later.
I was going to say, is there a song in the
movie? And it's going to be stuck in your head till the day you die.
Yes. Yes.
Podmeetsworldshow.com will send us out.
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Maddie Moore. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon, and you can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.